Miss any of the show? You can get Sheeman and Shepherd all the time with Sheeman and Shepherd On Demand. Available on 99.3ESPN.com and iTunes. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Summer has come and passed.
You know what it is, Pete Shepherd? You and I were discussing during the break outside, which I'm still getting used to it being like, it's like dark out now at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
We all kind of feel out of sorts today. Chris is not feeling well. You weren't feeling well. The energy has just been different today.
It's a weird day.
I figured out what it is. It's Chris's music selection today. It's not uplifting enough. It's not upbeat enough. It's too mellow. It's too feel good.
All right, I'll get you a good one next.
I need to rock it, man.
No, we play everything.
Yeah,
you didn't like me playing Rocket Man.
But
I love Rocket Man.
It's a great song, but it starts out slow.
Try Pinball Wizard for a riff coming. I mean, there's
never heard of that.
What are you? You're out of your mind.
Come on.
First of all, it's a famous play called Tommy Boy, and not the movie.
It's in Tommy Boy?
No.
No. Which would have been.
Yeah.
Right up his alley.
I was going to say, I've seen Tommy Boy. I can pretty much quote you any line from Tommy Boy.
You might like Tommy Boy. You get to see Anne Margaret half naked. She was very hottie back then.
Here's
Anne Margaret. Yeah, 813, solid song.
There's a current reference. But listen, here's the deal. Your song selections, they're great songs in and of themselves. But for bumper music, it's got to be a little toe tapper. It can't be a tearjerker. It can't be sad. It can't be low key. I got to come out of the break firing up, ready to go. Woo!
Settle down, Sheeman. Pinball Wizard.
Is this better?
Hi, Ken.
You want to go for a ride?
Sure, Ken.
Jump in.
I'm a Barbie girl in the Barbie world.
I'm going to kill him. There's a great Family Guy moment from this song.
I can't do it.
What's the bubblehead that sings this?
I can't do it. It's Aqua, the band Aqua. Which, by the way, they're no longer a band that got sued for so much money off of that song.
Spice Girls are making a comeback.
Tommy, not Tommy Boy, you moron. You're a moron. Yeah, you're right. It is Tommy, not Tommy. I got Tommy Boy mixed.
Love
up.
Tommy Boy.
Yeah, I did.
Speaking of that type of music, I saw the Spice the Spice Girls are making a comeback, but without what's her face?
Call me a moron, you bubblehead.
Which one's married to the soccer player?
Victoria Posh
yeah,
Spice.
Yeah, she's not part of it.
She doesn't
together.
Need the money grab.
Right. The rest of them are doing their money grab with their three hit.
I meant to say Tommy, not Tommy Boy. Stop it.
Tommy Boy's a great song, a great movie.
Great song.
I think it's your favorite movie. I think it's
Tommy Boy.
You've referenced
it's
Tommy
up there.
Boy
it's
more
up there.
Often than any other movie.
It's up there
in our time together.
Chris Farley. Anything that guy did was
David
just.
Spade. No, is that the one where we're at the wedding scene and he starts singing "Brother Loves Travel and Salvation Show"?
Yeah, and his dad dies has a heart attack.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty funny.
That sounds uplifting.
Well,
all right. Let's. This is yet another chance to hit a hard reset. Let's do it. We got some Thursday night football tonight. Carolina Panthers and the Pittsburgh
Maybe
Steelers.
Maybe the best Thursday night game of the year so far.
Antonio Brown will be there on time because he drives fast. He got called. He pulled over in his Porsche, driving 100 miles an hour in the wee hours this morning. Have we found video of that yet, by the way? Have you come across it?
I haven't seen it.
I saw somebody that had it. But
I just wanted to know if it was daylight or not. When it says early hours this morning, I don't know if that meant late hours last night or if the sun was up and he's trying to get to work on time. But he doesn't have to be at work early in this morning. It's game day, right? You come in later for that.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out the time this happened. Obviously, it's after midnight.
I'm going to guess it's after 2 a.m. That's
probably
just
after,
my experience.
After 2 and before 6. You're right.
Yeah. Somewhere between 2 and 6.
Get out of here, dopey. Black Sheep was not better than Tommy Boy. There's no way you can say that with a straight face.
What's the movie when he's at the wedding and sings Brother Loves Travel and Salvation Show? It's freaking hysterical.
I don't know that song.
It's Neil Diamond.
It's Neil Diamond. It's one of his better hit.
He was at a wedding in the movie Tommy
Boy.
Yeah,
okay. It had to be that then. And he's lip-syncing the song because things start going crazy and...
The Wedding Singer?
No, that was Adam Sandler.
No.
Wedding Crashers, probably the best wedding movie of all time. Loved Wedding Crashers.
No, best wedding
movie. I'm a huge Vince Vaughn fan.
Best wedding movie of all time, I think, would be...
yeah, I'll go there. Couple. I'll go there with you. Yeah.
Which one are you
Bridesmaids going? Was funny. Hysterical.
Not better than Wedding Crashers. It was very funny, but it's really not funny. Better than Wedding Crashers.
I put it right up there.
Anchorman was on TV last night.
Was
Father,
it?
Father of the Bride was spectacular. Father of the Bride was a good movie.
You know what was on TV last night that I watched? God, I forgot the name again. The Water Horizon, where the BP oil spill had Mark Wahlberg in it.
Oh, yeah.
God, what was that called? It was called
Deepwater Horizon.
Deepwater Horizon. I had never seen that before.
Oh, that's a
tense,
powerful movie.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Crappy at the box office. It was there for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, you're talking Mark Wahlberg, Kurt Russell, Kate Hudson. It's a good movie.
Like Die Hard underwater.
A lot of action. It is kind of Die Hard in the water. So it was a good flick. All right, no movies tonight. Watch it Thursday Night Football. I'm going to the Florida. I've never been to Florida Gulf Coast basketball game. I've lived here a year and a half. I'm going to my first one tonight. And I'll see the take on Southeastern. And then I'll come home and I'll watch the back end of the Carolina Panthers and the Pittsburgh Steelers. There. Pretty good night.
Great night.
So anyway, other NFL. So you were telling me, Chris, Le'Veon Bell, his agent. Let me back up a little bit. Le'Veon Bell, there was all this storyline that was out there for weeks and weeks and weeks that he had to show up by week 10, not only to play this year, but also there was a false narrative about he had to show up by week 10 in order to get his year of accrual for free agency, all that. That has been false all along. He already got that covered last year.
Right, Adam cleared up on Tuesday with us.
Is part of the confusion perhaps from his own agent?
Yes, maybe. Because his agent, I don't think, really knows what's going on. There's a theory going out there that the Steelers leaked the idea that Le'Veon Bell doesn't have to show up this year to force his way to free agency next year. And it holds water because Maurice Jones-Drew, he has the same agent as Le'Veon Bell.
Right.
He went on the NFL Network, I believe, and I'll read you the quote. So what happened was that once that came out, that being the Steelers leaking some information, that they're now digging and reading and trying to understand the language, because there's a lot of language in the CBA, especially for this particular instance. So they're going back now to really sit down and figure it out.
So
so they're flying by the seat of their pants.
How long ago was the collective bargaining agreement signed?
7 years ago.
Okay. So we should have this figured out by now, particularly if you're an agent and that's your job. You're steering this man's career, and he's making a very bold move by not showing up for 9 weeks so far. If you screw this up, that's not going to be good for business. It's not going to be good for anybody.
Not be good for anybody.
All right. Your boy Adam Gase got fined $15,000. The Dolphins got fined $30,000 for their quote-unquote shenanigans before the Bears game and how they listed Ryan Tannehill on the injury sheet. Apparently, they said he was a full participant in practice. He wasn't. This is the week where he just started practicing less and less and all of a sudden mysteriously didn't show up or didn't play for the Bears game. And now we haven't seen him since. So I don't know where we go from there.
And you're still worrying about Rashad Jones, who said
he has no regrets
about leaving the game Sunday. Adam, he has no regrets from Sunday the game. I've never been a quitter, he said. I've been in here 9 years playing my ass off for this team. Never been a quitter, never will.
Except on Sunday
when you didn't go back into the game. And people say he had a beef with defensive coordinator Matt Burke. Burke wants to make Minka Fitzpatrick a full-time guy, so he's rotating other people out. Rashad Jones is getting rotated out. Apparently, he didn't like that, so he didn't play.
Mm-hmm. He didn't like being rotated. You're right.
Okay. Pulled himself after the third defensive series.
One Dolphin player told ESPN on Sunday that those rotations were known during the week, but they weren't universally accepted. But this player also said, quote, like it or not, you got to do what the coaches ask. What the hell do you mean it wasn't universally accepted? Who the hell are you? You play Gase coaches. End of story.
I know.
What does that mean? Not universally accepted. You don't like it?
So normally I would say if I had a teammate that took himself out of the game for something like that, I'd be pissed at that teammate. I would. But if it's not universally accepted, it sounds like there's a little turmoil and maybe some other players agreed with his actions. I just think that would create so much division in your locker room because you guys are out there risking your body every single play. And if I see a teammate of mine not going out because he's not happy of how he's being used, I'm getting ticked off. I'm like, you get your rear end out there and figure it out.
But at what point is this...
And it's also professionalism.
Well, but at what point, like when Bill Belichick tells you to do something,
yeah,
that carries a
do it or
a
you're
certain
fired.
Amount of weight,
right?
Adam Gase has not earned that yet.
He's the coach. He's
okay,
coach.
But hold on 1 second. Okay, so was it Ndamukong Suh's fault that he's out of Miami now, or was it Adam Gase?
It was a salary.
It was his price tag.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So what about Jarvis Landry?
He was a pain in the ass.
Okay, now it's Rashad Jones that's upset, right?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, at what point do you have to start saying, okay, you're talented, I'm going to treat you a little different. You don't treat the first guy on the roster the same way as the 52nd guy on the roster. Doesn't work that way. Jimmy Johnson
true.
Said that.
If you got a Tom Brady or a Troy
Aikman.
But
I'm sick and tired of the best players on the Miami Dolphins coming out and saying that they have an issue with the coaching. At some point, it's the coach.
Well, but if they knew this was part of the game plan and... The issue came after Jones taken out by defensive coordinator Matt Burke before the Dolphins' fourth defensive series. He was rotating starting defensive backs out of the game to make Minka Fitzpatrick a full-time player. He put Bobby McCain in at cornerback on the bench for the first two drives and T.J. McDonald on the bench and the third and Jones on the bench in the fourth drive. Jones was the only one who didn't return after being taken out. Now, if this was part of the game plan during the week, which players say they off the record said it was, I mean, I don't know. Now, you want to question... Should Rashad Jones be out there all the time? Okay, that's fair. But he knew damn well that this was going to be part of the game plan. And this stuff about being universally accepted.
It's not a democracy.
It's not a democracy. It shouldn't have, good teams don't have democracies.
You know,
you coach and you play.
I used to work at another network. And there were some other talk show hosts there that, you know, they got away with stuff because they were good. They got some ratings. They could do some things I couldn't get away with, okay? And my boss once told me something that kind of stuck with me. He says, you know what? Some people have earned their arrogance in this business, meaning they can show their ass a little bit. If Tom Brady wants to ruffle some feathers, nobody's going to do anything about it in New England, where if Josh Gordon does, he's probably going to be fired and cut. There is nobody, not one player on the Dolphins roster that has earned the arrogance to decide if they're in the game or not the game. There are no superstars on this team.
Mm-hmm.
None.
And you're talking about the one thing you can say about
Rashad
the Dolphins.
Rashad Jones would be that one, though. Like, okay, he's the one who's a top five safety in the NFL.
Okay, agreed. But you can't argue they lead the league in interceptions. And I'm okay, they got four left, but they lead the league with the interceptions at 15. So. And, you know, Matt Burke, I wasn't sure he'd even survive a couple weeks ago. I get it. But they are leading the league in interceptions. So, I don't know. Defensively, overall, what he's done this year, I think it's been okay at best. Okay, but something was working last week, and he had Sam Darnold, who stunk up the joint. So, but whatever he was doing last week, it worked because it was confusing. Sam Darnold threw four picks.
No, I got you. But at some point, if you're a coach, like you have to keep your players happy with you, especially your best players. And let's throw a Pouncey into the list as well. That's four of your best players from last year that aren't on your team because you wanted to change the culture.
Mm-hmm.
So what? Now you're going to find the next best four players and get rid of them because you took one of them off the field? I just don't know where Adam Gase, Matt Burke, the entire coaching staff, I don't know. I'm getting a little tired of hearing all of our best players. Yeah. Yeah, I'll throw myself in as a Miami Dolphin fan. I'm getting tired of hearing all of our best players either show or talk about how our coach doesn't know how to interact with them.
Fair point. Can't disagree.
And yet, if you look at Vegas right now, odds to win coach of the year. Actually, I made a mistake. He's tied for third.
Oh, Lord.
So Andy Reid right now is plus 125 to be coach of the year. Sean McVay plus 250. Matt Nagy and Adam Gase are tied at plus 400. Vegas odds to be coach of the year. Chris, your coach is in the running for coach of the year.
Where's Matt Patricia?
Thank you for laughing, Pete, because that's exactly what that is. Laughable.
Well, no, it's not. It's not laughable because of their record right now. And their record right now... at 5-4, ugly as hell last week. Agreed. But at 5-4 for a team that was not – that team was projected by almost everybody in the NFL who covers on ESPN to finish worse than the Browns. How many times do we say that?
Oh, and we worse said it the whole, we said the whole the floor is six for this team.
But like, we didn't think that. I thought and I said I thought they'd win 8 games. I thought they'd win 8 games.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, so they're 5-4. I just listen. Adam Gase is not the coach of the year. I don't know how you say that without laughing.
Well, he's not the coach.
I'm reading Vegas, baby.
No,
they're looking at possible projections, especially if they pull off this. And I'm not saying they can go into. I think the biggest factor this week for them is going to be 32 degrees at Lambeau Field at 425.
Will be the frozen tundra.
That it will be the frozen tundra.
Let's go to the phones. 239-337 ESPN. Other Chris in Fort Myers wants to talk a little Dolphins. Chris, welcome to Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. How are you, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
Good, and you guys?
Good.
We're good. Thank you.
Good, good. I'm calling all the time talking about the Dolphins, and I'm with Chris. You know, it's a lot on Gase, Adam Gase. You know, he's not a real leader. He's not leading the team. This is nothing but, you know, drama after drama with this team. You know, I think, you know, Pete, you know, they're 5-4. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And they got him in position, but the lug nuts are loose, man. It's only a matter of time before the wheels fall off.
Well, I mean, look, they won last week and set football back a decade. I mean, I get it. I've never seen a team in this era, you know, with the way how much offense is, I only have 7 first downs in a game. I mean, you could get 12, you know, peewee football players out there get 7 first downs, and to only have 187 yards. I got to believe, right? They're going to improve on that this week.
And they've got the 4th worst point differential in the AFC. Yeah. Like, eventually that catches up to you.
No doubt.
What am I missing here? Because not only is Adam Gase a front runner to be coach of the year, according to Vegas, but the networks are flexing the Dolphins into a nice sweet spot. In week 12, the Dolphins-Colts game is now the 425 game. Mm-hmm. They've just flexed that in there. Why?
Because they're 5-4. I guarantee if they were, even if 4-5, they wouldn't have done it. But they look at, they look at the schedule.
When you look at a bad AFC.
I think the Colts are going to start to, you know, getting better. And I'd have to go look and see exactly why they did it. But they're looking at the, I'm telling you, if Miami were 4-5 or 3-6, they wouldn't have done it. They're looking at the schedule right now.
Yeah. That's in Indy, by the way.
I mean, they playoff picture right now, they're one spot out of the playoffs.
Yeah, they're the 7th seed right now. They would be the 7th seed.
Maybe Ryan Tannehill can go up there and get some shoulder tips from Andrew Luck on how to come back from this injury. We had a soundbite earlier from Adam Gase. Was it Adam Gase or was it Tannehill that said they kind of snuck it in there? Hopefully we can get him to do some arm motions.
Yeah.
And then hopefully start throwing some footballs again. I mean, that doesn't sound like a guy that's coming back in 2 weeks. Not my experience. Pretty crazy.
But the Packers are under the gun here too. So is Mike McCarthy. I mean, if anybody going into that field, it's a tough play, even despite the record. But if Miami's going to catch them, this is the week to catch them, because that team has to go 7-1 to make 10 wins. Okay. McCarthy's and there's no question. Rodgers 15 touchdowns and 1 interception. His completion percentage is near the bottom of the league. It's barely at 55%.
You and I were
Is
it
55? Well, yeah. Pete and I were talking about this before the show, and it's funny he mentioned that today, because I was thinking the last time I saw a Packers game, Brett Favre was rolling out, receiver wasn't open, throwing the ball away, living to play another day, doing it over and over and over again. And I was watching him. I'm like, at some point, this is really going to kill his pass game.
You said Brett Favre.
I'm sorry. Did I really?
Yeah.
It's been one of those days.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers' completion percentage is really going to be low, because that's what he does. He just rolls out, throws the ball away, lives to play another day. Brett Favre would do the opposite. I'm gonna force this sucker in there.
Overtime in the NFC Championship game. Let's throw across our body.
There's 55.8% against the Patriots last week, only 24 of 43. And you saw some of those passes were, you know. I know he's trying to get the ball out quick. There's a disconnect there with that offense. Whether it's Philbin and McCarthy, one of the two or the other with Rodgers, something isn't right over there. I think there's going to be an overhaul of that team, too.
I think there will be. I will. One other note, Monday Night Football is an exciting Giants-49ers game. This may be your last chance to see Eli Manning in a Giant uniform, in my opinion. Pat Shurmur confirmed that Eli Manning would start against the Niners on Monday night. He said that he explained to Eli that everybody needs to play better and made no guarantees about what would happen at quarterback after Monday night's game. Code word, reading between the lines. He's making a change after this week. Probably didn't want to embarrass him on a nationally televised game. This is it. This is it for Eli.
Well, that and Laletta didn't help him cause by getting into trouble the way he did last week. So he didn't help that either, speaking of speeding and mouthing off to police officers.
But did he mouth off?
Laletta did, yeah. He wouldn't get
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah.
Did that in a row.
Yeah, after he almost hit the officer.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, does Eli retire after this? Maybe.
He doesn't seem like he wants to.
Yeah, I don't think he does.
I think he still wants to play, but I think he's done. I mean, you can always ask yourself, all right, if he's behind a better line with a better organization, can he show he still has it? I mean, he is running for his life on every play. There's no question about
it. No question about it.
But he doesn't look like
he's
still
to teams that would be in the quarterback market that they probably don't have a great offensive line.
I keep coming back to the Jaguars, and they got Eric Flowers on their line now. I mean, go from one nightmare to another. It's not good.
So one thing Eli would love, huh? A reunion with Eric Flowers?
Hey, good news. You've been traded next year. whatever. Eric Flowers.
Meanwhile, Archie is saying, it could be worse.
Archie is saying it could be worse. Archie had some god-awful lines blocking for him in New Orleans.
I don't know how he made it. I mean,
I
seriously.
He must be just sore.
Do you remember those? You'd sit there because they were never on TV except in New Orleans.
Right.
I mean, they were never on except for goofy highlights.
Yeah.
And bloopers and everything else. I don't know how he made it. I don't know. Every time you saw him on TV, he was getting sacked.
Yep.
Every time. And you knew he was a good player. Because you see, the times that he did,
any wins they got were solely because of him.
Yeah, the winner game or two in the season. It was just the bags on the heads and, the ain'ts and all that stuff.
Who dat? We the ain'ts.
Yep.
All right, coming up, we're going to talk with Marcus Grant. We'll dial him up from Los Angeles and the NFL Network. We'll talk some fantasy football. You got some either-or questions you want to put on the Stony Brook Golf Club text line or call us in 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.
They have their fingers on the pulse of the sports world. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Yeah, exactly.
On 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Craig Sheeman, Pete Shepherd, Southwest Florida Sports Leader, 99.3 ESPN. We're going to talk a little fantasy football. Anytime we do, it's brought to you by BMW of Fort Myers. I saw Huey Lewis in concert once upon a time. Back in the
80s. Very fun concert.
Very good. Marcus Grant is with us from the NFL Network and talks of fantasy football with him. He's on each and every Thursday. Marcus, how are you today, sir?
Marcus.
You know, the greatest thing that Huey Lewis ever did was throw his cameo in Back to the Future when he told Michael J. Fox his band was too loud.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, boys. Your band is just too damn loud. You know, it's the creepiest video ever. Remember If This Is It and the band members are buried up to their heads in the sand and the beach?
Yeah.
And they're doo-wopping. That is so that creeped me out then. It creeps me out now just thinking about it.
I like that one. They had a camera on the end of a drumstick on one of their videos, if I think of it. It looks cool view anyway. Anyway, good stuff. Off there. All right, big news, Marcus, in the NFL this week. Dez Bryant is now employed. That means he's available for fantasy pickups, although I don't think he's going to play this week for the Saints, but nonetheless, something we're going to keep an eye on?
It's something to keep an eye on, and I think he's worth a pickup and stash in a lot of leagues. I'm still skeptical about what his overall value is going to be, just simply based on the fact that the last time we saw him, he looked like a guy who had lost the step. He wasn't able to get separation from defensive backs. I just struggled to get open in the Dallas offense. Now, maybe Sean Payton can do some things to scheme him open, but I'm not in a hurry to rush him back into my lineup until I see what kind of Dez Bryant we're going to get on the field.
And I know we touched on this last week as well, but we're done with Le'Veon Bell, right? I mean, you're a smart guy, Marcus. Can you decipher the upside-down tweets that he's been throwing out there? I don't know, some hidden code that we don't know about?
No, the last time I worried about the Upside Down, I think I was watching Stranger Things season 2.
Oh, so great show.
I have no idea what is going to happen. I mean, there is no guarantee that he actually comes back to play. He doesn't have to come back to play this year. Mm-hmm. He can still hit free agency again next year without actually suiting up for the Steelers. So what actually happens is a mystery. That makes it hard to really do anything. You can't put him in your lineup, obviously, because he's not playing, but it's hard to trade for him or trade him away because, you know, if you're on the other end of that, you don't know what's going to happen with him either. So, you know, it's become one of those things where if you have Le'Veon Bell, he has really become an albatross on your roster because there is zero clarity about what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. I'll throw a question at you from our text line at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Adrian Peterson or Marlon Mack for a PPR flex position?
I think I would probably go with Adrian Peterson this week. I mean, you know, the Bucs defense has had its struggles so far this year. I think after last week, I expect that Washington is going to load him up with touches. I do like Mack overall, but what concerns me this week is that even after the bye, he's been limited in practice. He doesn't look like he's 100%, and that makes me think that the Colts might lean on Nyheim Hines a little bit more if Mack's not 100%.
Well, tonight's game is interesting. I think there's some fantasy points to be had here. Now, I know the Steelers defense, they haven't allowed no more than 21 points in any of the past four games. I guarantee you they will give up over 21 points tonight. They still may win, but I think this is a great fantasy game tonight, in my opinion. Two teams that are going to throw it around all over the place.
Oh, no, I absolutely agree. I think both of these teams are going to be very effective moving the football. I would expect you're going to see more of it through the air than on the ground. Both of these teams have had pretty good run defenses this year, so you know, I don't know that you see a lot from Connor or McCaffrey as running backs. I think you see a lot more from them as pass catchers. But you know, Cam Newton is he should be getting more talk for this MVP conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, Patrick Mahomes is probably your leader, but Cam Newton is playing some of the best football of his career. He's spreading it around. And so I think both these quarterbacks have big games. I think the receivers play well. I agree with you. I think this is going to be a very high-scoring game.
And Antonio Brown, he's, you know, hitting the century mark in his car this morning. I'm still not sure. And maybe you know exactly. I thought I saw maybe some video out there, but any more details on Antonio Brown? And is it possible that any disciplinary action, you think, by the Steelers, you heard at the NFL Network today?
I've heard nothing about it. You know, I would think that internally they are probably working on something. I don't expect that he's going to miss this game. If anything, you know, he's going to have a sit-down, I'm sure, with Mike Tomlin, and there may be a fine or something to that nature. But I wouldn't expect, if you have Antonio Brown in your lineup, I would expect that you should be okay with keeping him there tonight.
Okay.
All right, I got another texter to 239. Says Brady or Dalton?
You know what? I'm thinking I'm going to go Andy Dalton this week. Yeah. Look, the Patriots offense has been very effective, but so much of it has been with its running backs. You know, James White taking some short passes and doing things with them. Sony Michel, when he's healthy, running the football. Tom Brady the last few weeks has not been a very good fantasy quarterback. Meanwhile, Andy Dalton could be in a track meet with the Saints this week. I would think that you know, New Orleans is certainly going to put up some points on that Bengals defense, which means that Dalton is going to have to keep throwing the ball. I am concerned that there's no A.J. Green, but I just think that they're going to have to throw to kind of stay in this game with the Saints, and that bodes well for Andy Dalton's fantasy future.
I want to ask about two teams down here, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, home against the Redskins, the Miami Dolphins, headed to Green Bay. But it's more about Aaron Rodgers. Dolphins lead the league with 15 picks, four last week, but you know, it's going to be very cold, right? 30, 32 degrees at the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. And I don't know how Aaron Rodgers rebounding from last week's loss to the Patriots, where he only completed 55% of his passes.
I think he may be a little better, but I don't expect him to go out and have just some kind of bananas video game type numbers this week. I think this is a week that they lean a lot more on the running game. They have discovered in the past couple of weeks that Aaron Jones is a pretty good running back, which is something that a lot of us had been saying for weeks. I'm not sure when Mike McCarthy finally got the memo, but I think there's an opportunity for them to kind of lean on Aaron Jones and lean on that running game, because the Dolphins have really struggled to stop opposing offenses on the ground. So with the weather being cold, with Aaron Rodgers maybe not playing his best football right now, and the Dolphins having a very notable deficiency in run defense, This could be a week that you see more Aaron Jones and maybe less of the passing game.
Marcus, if you have Eagles players on your team, let's talk about how they fold in Golden Tate, who's now been traded there. He's had the bye to work it out. He's already played Dallas before with the Lions for 8 catches and 132 yards. Maybe another big day for him, but a new team. Does this mean Zach Ertz gets less touches? I know Darren Sproles has a bad hammy and probably won't play. That factors in. But any change, if you've got a lot of Eagles players on your offense, about how that ball is going to be spread around?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely some concern. I think the biggest hit goes to Nelson Agholor, who I think no longer really has any serious value fantasy-wise. I do worry a little bit about Zach Ertz just because he and Golden Tate kind of operate in the same area of the field, so you wonder how much they're going to sort of cannibalize each other. And the same, I think, goes for Alshon Jeffrey, especially this week. For all the dysfunction in Dallas right now, their defense really has been one of their bright spots. And so I worry that they will lock down Alshon Jeffrey, especially if the Eagles are trying to get Golden Tate more integrated into the offense this week. There's just a whole lot of weapons there and a whole lot of guys for Carson Wentz to use. And really, outside of Wentz himself, Wentz and Ertz, there haven't been a whole lot of super consistent fantasy options here. So, I think you have to start Tate because it's hard to sit a guy like that. But I just think that this is a week that maybe you have to temper your expectations because the Eagles may spread it around a little bit.
Is this the week for me and others? David Johnson has a little bit better offense against Chiefs defense. It's played better lately, but I'm still waiting. This guy is killing me this year, killing me. On the whole, although I guess other guys have killed me too, but it's been a bad few weeks for me, I'll be honest with you. But David Johnson, is it possible that he breaks out, has that one big game we're waiting for against the Chiefs?
From your lips to the fantasy gods' ears, I mean, we're all hoping so. And I am optimistic because I think this is another game where the Cardinals are going to have to move the ball consistently in order to keep up with that Chiefs offense. I like the fact that Byron Leftwich had a bye week to try and get something going. I mean, we saw a little bit of it a couple of weeks ago against the 49ers when they started to get Johnson more integrated. And hopefully having the bye week means they can even do a little bit more of it. I think the fact, again, that Kansas City is going to score points means that the Cardinals have to split him out, hopefully, and as a receiver and get him the football in the passing game. They can get it to him as a runner and try to get him outside the tackle. So I am optimistic that this is going to be a very big week for David Johnson. So if you held on to him, if you tried to weather the storm, or if you snagged him in a trade recently, this should be a week that you could be happy about it.
Rich Gannon recently criticized Matthew Stafford, saying he's just a stat filler. He's a guy that's always behind and gets a lot of stats in the fourth quarter, which can be arguably true. Now no Golden Tate. Now he's coming off a 10-sack performance last week, and now he's going against that Bears defense. This might be a good week to sit Matthew Stafford, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, hey, look, Rich Gannon might be right, and that's part of the reason we love him in fantasy. Like, we don't care how you get your money. We just want you to get your money. And so Matthew Stafford has been doing that in years past. This year, it has been a struggle for him. I mean, the Lions have generally struggled to run the football. That has been apparent again this year. But Stafford is not putting up the yards through the air that we have seen from him in the past. And then, as you mentioned, they have lost one of their big options in the passing game with Golden Tate now in Philadelphia. There's nothing about this matchup that gets me excited from the Lions' perspective. I would avoid Stafford. As much as I love Kenny Galladay, I would worry about him and Marvin Jones. Just everything about this just seems off for the Lions. And if you can somehow afford to sit any Lions players on your roster, this would be a week to do it.
Mm-hmm. How difficult is it to handicap from a fantasy standpoint which defense to stick with and how long? And I say that because last week on one of my FanDuel teams, I picked up the Bears defense, and I think they got 27 fantasy points to throw, 3 intercepts, a couple of returns. But that can be a gigantic asset. You catch a good defense on a certain week, and they can win you a game. And a lot of people, don't really look at it that way. They think it's more the other 8 or 9 players or kickers on the team, whatever. But how do you look at it, and how long should you stick with a defense?
I don't think that, at this point, the way the NFL sets up and how the rules are so slanted toward offense, I don't think there's such a thing as a defense that you can ride each and every week. I mean, we've seen the Jaguars and the Vikings, who we thought were going to be outstanding, they've struggled this year. I think it really is about playing matchups. For instance, it has become fashionable to start whoever is playing the Bills because their quarterback situation has been awful this year. But when Sam Darnold was starting, it looks like he's going to sit this week. But when he was playing, it became a thing to sort of target the Jets just because, you know, you could get turnovers. And so, you know, the way defensive coordinators are starting to look at it is the way fantasy managers should look at it. Look, you're going to give up yards. That's just the way the league is now. But if you can create turnovers, if you can get sacks, and then every now and then if you can turn one of those turnovers into a touchdown, that is how you will succeed in the NFL. That's how you will succeed in fantasy. So I think it's just wise not to lock yourself in and feel like there's a defense you've got to draft and start every single week. Feel free to go out and play the waiver wire and see if you can make some moves and find a matchup that's going to benefit you on any given week.
I know we don't talk about defense often like we just did. We also don't talk about kickers very often. I know Robbie Gould is still one of the best in the league, but I just have a feeling this 49ers-Giants game is just going to be a field goal fest. So if you got Robbie Gould, good for you. I think you're getting a lot of points on Monday night.
I wouldn't be surprised by that. I mean, the Niners for the last few years have played what I call a bend but don't break offense. They seem to move the ball and get into scoring position but somehow can't crack the goal line. So, this seems like it has the makings of a field goal game. It doesn't look like it's going to be very pretty, at least on paper. So I think if you got Robbie Gould, if you have Aldrick Rosas on the Giants side, it could be a pretty nice night for you.
All right, one more running back question. Gore or Saquon Barkley this weekend?
Look, it's hard to sit Saquon, and I know that he hasn't been great as a runner, but he does so much in the passing game with those little dump-offs, with Eli being the king of the checkdowns. It's hard. As much as I love Frank Gore, and I tell you that Frank Gore will never die, I can't put him ahead of Saquon Barkley this week.
All right, sounds good. Marcus, thank you as always awesome for your expertise. Stuff. We'll talk to you next week. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Marcus.
All right, take care, fellas.
All right, we always look forward to this segment. That's Marcus Grant from the NFL Network talking fantasy football. Anytime we talk fantasy football, it's brought to you by BMW of Fort Myers. All right, you want to chime in on any of that? The number's 239-337-ESPN. At the top of the hour, 5 o'clock, Rick Haro, our sports business insider, will be on the program as well. And I tell you what, I'm feeling like giving away something here. We got our Stream Song Golf Resort package to give away, and we get you qualified on caller number 9. You get a sleeve of Callaway golf balls with our brand new logo on it here, 99.3 ESPN. I got a sleeve of them right here. We'll give you that. That's your marker or your holder, if you will. And for the final drawings, when we name the people that get to play golf and hang out for a couple of nights at Stream Song with us later on. So caller number 9. Get yourself registered to win right now at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. It's Sheeman and Shepard on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.
You can always tweet us at 99.3 ESPN Radio. We might even tweet you back. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Craig Sheeman, Pete Shepard, Southwest Florida Sports Leader, 99.3 ESPN.
Crank it up.
Crank it up.
Crank it in. Let me begin.
Yeah.
Pack it up, pack it in. Let me begin. Pack in the wind. Battle me.
What school?
What?
What school? What football stadium?
Many.
No, come on. There's one.
Bama.
UCF.
No.
UCF.
Camp Randall, Wisconsin. Bucky Badger.
Bucky
famous.
This all the
yeah.
Time? Really?
Actually, North Carolina basketball does as well, but I'll give credit where credit is due. I'm not like you two yahoos who won't give the Dolphins credit for the good fight song.
You'd
say it's the Houston Oilers, not even a football team.
Was.
No, Wisconsin football. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I hear that song a lot.
See,
a lot
I think
venues.
That's just regular stadium issue song. Everybody plays it.
Google it.
They probably play it in Indiana.
Every school plays it.
Yeah, I think everybody.
Every school does not play it.
Especially basketball. Jumping around. It's a basketball song.
Because you jump in basketball?
Yeah.
It's clever.
Get the clever little catch play on words. Just had Marcus Grant on.
Ryan was our winner, by the way.
Congratulations, Ryan. All
Ryan.
Right, for a stream song.
The R-Dog.
And he's going to get himself a sleeve of these Callaway golf balls with the 99.3 ESPN logo, which I think are phenomenal. We just got our hands on them today, so they look very nice. And then he could possibly be one of the finalists to join me and Pete to play some golf in a couple of nights out at
just so you know, people always come up with these silly arguments every year. Alabama or whoever top colleges in any sport can beat the worst team in the NFL.
Yeah.
So could Alabama beat the Bills? One Vegas sports book made Buffalo a massive favorite in the hypothetical matchup.
Massive favorite.
Massive favorite. 28.5 points. 28.5 points.
I think that's about right. I've never been in the camp that said the best college team could beat a pro team. They just can't. They just can't.
No, it won't.
And this is the best Alabama team I've ever seen. I mean, if there was ever a team that I might have that conversation, and the thing is,
it's literally boys against men.
And there might be 15 first-round picks on the Bama roster eventually, but not all of them are first-round picks today.
Although
all the Bills players aren't first-round picks either, but they're all NFL players.
Alabama's got two offensive tackles that could be playing in the league today.
The Golden Nugget director Aaron Kessler said the Bills might struggle to score 29 points against an NFL defense, but LeSean McCoy is naming his price in terms of rushing yards, and the Bills might be naming their price in terms of score.
Let's go to the phones. 239-337-ESPN.
Real quick, look at the text line. It is a Wisconsin thing. Absolutely.
I'm not saying it's not.
I just know I hear that song at every sporting event. Every sporting event.
Yeah.
Baseball, basketball, football, hockey, hear it all the time.
It's on like your standard issue fan jam
CD.
But they
might have adopted it first. If Wisconsin adopted it first, then kudos to them.
All right.
Do that to Bucky Badger.
I'm not saying you're wrong, Chris. I'm just saying I've heard it elsewhere. It's very, you hear it.
You're just not saying I'm right.
You hear it at every NBA game I've ever been to.
I think just agree with him. He has an upset tummy.
We all do.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get a stomach ache.
Really?
Yeah.
I do too. I'm thinking
it's not your lunch.
Are we all the same cycle?
Did you just ask if we are all on the same cycle?
Excuse me. From a biorhythm standpoint.
Oh, thought you needed some Midol.
Yep. See, I knew you were going
to
go there.
Let's go to Chris in the Cape. You're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
Good afternoon. Good.
Well, one real fast. Chris is right. I was at the Wisconsin game versus Michigan last year, and that song is very big in that stadium with that student section. So,
all right.
Okay. Kudos to Chris.
Okay, kudos to Chris.
I will accept the kudos. Thank you very much.
What I call for, though, is I was listening to the Will Cain show before I started listening to you guys, and they said, I want your opinion on what they were talking about. They said that Michigan at number four is the only team that does not control their own destiny. I would like your guys' input on how if Michigan wins out, that's what they were saying, if Michigan wins out, that they're the only team who does not control their destiny. If Notre Dame wins out and Clemson wins out and Georgia beats Alabama.
Why does Will Cain say that? What's his reasoning?
Michigan's in. Michigan does control their own destiny. He's full of it. I think the team that is in trouble out of that scenario is Notre Dame because they don't have a conference champion. And they could be – there is a scenario where they could be left out undefeated. That's the team I'd worry about.
What was he saying?
He said if Notre Dame wins out, Clemson wins out, that they're going to be in. And he said if Georgia goes and if Georgia and Alabama play each other, they win out, and then Georgia beats Alabama in the championship game, that the committee would seriously look at sticking Alabama in over a conference championship in Michigan.
I think they would seriously consider putting Alabama in over a Notre Dame team that doesn't have a conference championship.
We had the conversation yesterday. Yeah. We had the conversation all last week.
Yeah.
Like, this is the scenario. Okay, Will Cain thinks that Michigan would be out. I don't know how you look at football and say Michigan is not one of the four best teams.
Right.
I'm of the opinion Alabama would be on the outside looking in because the other four deserve to be in. But again, is this committee put there to find out the four most deserving teams, or are they put in place to find out the four best teams?
Yep.
And that's the last few years they've shown us it's what we see with our eyes. It's not necessarily 100% decided on the field.
Already getting texts from Notre Dame fans in the building saying, not a chance. Not a chance, brother. Yeah, there is a chance.
Speaking of seeing things with my eyes.
There is a chance. If Michigan wins out, they are going.
Look at a clock. We're late, boys and girls. Rick Harrell
next. Oh, my gosh.
Sheeman and Shepherd of 99.3 ESPN.